basics that we need to learn from the Word of God. One of those things, you know what, you need to commence in childhood when they're very small. It says, train up a child. That means a child in the time of early. Now, that word train there, early, is talking about now dedication. That is what that word is used. Many other words is used, but that's one word that we're going to use tonight, and it's called dedication. We need to dedicate our children in the way that the Lord will raise them and should show them and to guide them. Have you dedicated your children to the Lord? You know, there's a lot of parents here this hour. You have a lot of children here this hour. Have you dedicated your child to Jesus Christ? If you have not, you should dedicate your child to Jesus Christ. I dedicated my children to Jesus Christ several times, sometimes several times a day. You need to dedicate your children to Jesus Christ. That's where the help goes. So we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, train up a child. That word child means young. A school age, whenever they born, is a time to get them in the church when they're young. And it's easy to correct the child when it's young. I don't know about you, but you remember some of us young men used to go out in the woods. There used to be what we call longleaf pine, and they'd grow up tall, 20 foot tall. They wouldn't have no limbs on them. And we'd go out in the woods, and we'd climb these saplings, and we would ride them down. Now, I'm going to tell you, that was a great fun if you didn't get hurt doing that. Now, you boys, y'all don't try that, but we really done that whenever I was little. There are no woods today, and there hardly none of these type of trees. But it was easy to bend this tree over when it was small. But I tell you, you can't bend an oak tree. You won't be able to ride that oak tree down. So you can bend the sapling when it's young. And that's what this word is talking about here, to bend that sapling, that little child, when it's young. When it gets 16 years old and weighs 180 pounds, it's getting a little too late to bend that child then. A lot of people want help, but it's too late then. Proverbs 19 and 18 says, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Another one, Proverbs 13 and 24, it says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him, chasteneth him betimes. You see, God knows, and it says betimes. Now that means early in the years. That means early in the days of that child to correct him. Now we have problems in our country, would you admit, with our young kids and our teenagers that are growing up? One of the reasons is because of discipline in the homes. Did not show the right respect, disciplines in the home today. I know it's very popular today saying that, you know, you can't spank any children today. But I tell you, I believe myself that some of them needs to have some corrections in the right place. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about it, whether you like it or not, in just a few minutes from the Word of God, exactly what it says to do. It says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. Listen, that's what God said now. And I'm not doing the talking as I'm up here preaching to you tonight. I'm going to tell you every time I'm up here, I'm telling you what God says. But he that loveth him, chasteneth him, betimes. That means when he is early. The communication factors that we have. Mother and father, we need to get ready to explain questions to our little ones. We ask why so many times. Well, at this time, the Israelites, you know, when they told their children they're fixing to go over into the promised land, and they asked a lot of questions. But God says, you know what? Ask questions, be ready to answer them. God is building to our children now the curiosity of many, many things and the capability now of receiving things. You need to bring your children to the house of God early, because I'm going to tell you what, they can learn at a very, very early age. So we need to find this factor and use it as God says for us to do. Conversion factors we see is. Now this conversion factor, we know it's the best time to bring a child up in the Lord and admonition of the Lord is when they're early. And I tell you what, before the devil gets that old claws in that old child and brings him down. You and I and a lot of us here this hour can tell you, I wished I had come to know the Lord whenever I was a younger age. Because you know what you do as a grown person? An older person before you come to know the Lord. Oh, you are sought in your ways, are you not? And I'm telling you what, you bring all these things into the family of God, and the Lord has a time ever getting you straightened out. At an early age, at a child, before the devil ever gets his claws into that hide. In Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16, listen to what Jesus Christ is talking. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciple rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall receive the kingdom of God like a little child, he shall enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his arms upon them, and blessed them. That was Jesus Christ to the little children. Now, you know what we think? That we think that little children should understand and become like adults before they're saved. Jesus Christ says, no, you adults, you come like a little child in childlike faith. Jesus said it's right the opposite. The correction with the consistency. Now, there's a reason for discipline. It says, train up a child. Train, I said the first word, that word for train is dedication. That means also correction and discipline. Why are we supposed to discipline our children? Why are we supposed to discipline our children? Because God says so. God said we're supposed to discipline our children. As I already read that, Proverbs 13 and 24, he that spares his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. In our country, in the United States today, you know, they say you can't spank. You never should spank a child. No, 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 don't spank a child. That would treat him wrong to spank a child. Well, do you actually know that God says to spank? I really do, correction. According to God's word, it says we should do that. Now you say, oh, I can't do this. I love him so much, I can't spank him. I love him so much. God says, here in this word, that's a lie. You say you love this child too much to correct him. God says that's a lie. Because he that spared the rod hated his son. Do you know more than God do about raising your family? Do you know more than God does? God says you hate your child. According to God's word, no parents are smarter than God, are you? You spare that rod. It also says there in Hebrews 12 and 6, of whom the Lord loveth, he chasteth and scourges every son who he received. God said, do you think that he don't scourge you? Now, he always takes into consideration, he talks to you. You get way out on a limb and you need correction, you know what God will do? Would he correct you? You better believe God will correct you. And it will hurt sometimes. But he's doing that, why? Because he loves you. He loves you. Why do we discipline? Because you know what? It's the nature of our human nature that we need to be disciplined. Proverbs 22 and 15. The foolish is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. That word foolish does not mean childish silliness. It means wickedness in the heart of a child. Yeah, they born that way. Same word in Proverbs used many times for fools. Says in the heart there is no God. God. Someone hates and ignores the things of God. They're that foolishness. It's going into destructions. You need to teach them and train them. In the hearts of these little ones, children need to know and to learn that there's a moral absolute from the Word of God. This Word of God has been done away with in our country, people. I'm going to tell you, they want absolutes in our school system today, and they are no absolutes without the authority of the Word of God. Absolutely none. It is authority of the Word of God today. Always will be, always have been. It's authority of the Word of God. The reason for correction is also for our self-benefit. Proverbs 29, 15 and 17. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. But if you don't correct that child when he's little, he'll make a fool out of you. Ain't that what it says? If you don't correct that child when he's young, you're going to be ashamed of yourself later on. That's exactly what it says. And they about that high and say, I can't do anything with them. You weigh 150 pounds and you got a child that weighs about 30 and you can't do anything with them. That ain't what God says. God says correct them. And some of you are my age and younger. You know what correction was whenever we come along. You know exactly what it was. The wickedness that grows in that heart. If you don't discipline them, you'll be ashamed of your lack of consistency when you get a little older. Hebrews 12 and 11 also says, now no such chastening for the present seem to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Well, it won't seem good right then, but I'll tell you what, it'll bring something good later on. It brings spiritual benefit also. Proverbs 23, 13 and 14 also says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, He shall not die. Oh, I'm afraid I'm going to hurt him. Oh, you ain't going to kill him. Oh, I'm afraid I'm going to hurt this child. He needs a little bit of hurting. Amen? All right, help me out here now. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. Deliver his soul from hell. Did y'all get that? Now, we're not talking, that sounds a lot of cruelty, but we're not talking about child abuse here, by the way. Rod does not mean a club. That word rod there means a spanking utensil. Stings. Get that little switch. You don't have to have a board, a 2x4. There was plenty of utensils when I was coming up. Peach trees. Gallberries. There was plenty of utensils whenever I was going. Didn't have to worry about 2x4s. There was plenty of utensils. God built in every child a spanking place. Did y'all know that? And every one of us. Daddy never did spank me on an empty stomach. He always turned me over. There's always a place to spank. And God's built in that place. I know that we all have done wrong in times of spanking our children. There's a right time. There's a right place. And there's a right way. And I have to leave that to you and the Lord. But the Bible says for us to be consistent. Your child, and save your child from the place called hell. Children, if they do not learn respect and authority at homes, they will not learn it authority when they go to school. They will not learn it from the government. They'll have no authority from the church or respect authority. And they will not respect God if they're not taught respect in the homes. One of the reasons our country is having so many problems is because of our homes. And the devil knows that. When our home goes, our nation goes. And we're having problems in our home. The problem of our country today, the lesson all begins at home. The precept that God has said to lead here for our life. The rules for discipline our children is in the Word of God. It says already for us to begin early. God always disciplines us at the last resort, does he not? Revelation 3:19 tells us, as many as I love, I rebuke. You rebuke them first. He said, then God says he chastened. Be zealous therefore and repent. Use the word. Spanking, when you do it, I can tell you right now, do a good job at it. Don't just do a little bit and make him mad. When you do it, do a good job. Woo! Do a good job. I know sometimes I like to help people out. Wouldn't you? I like to take some of them and give them some training. You ever see them in sometimes in a place and you go out to eat and they just turn the plate upside over their head and throw food and everything? I would like for them to stay at my house a little while. Do that training that need. God says for us to do that. Matthew 22:37 also says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Ephesians 6:4 says, and Father, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Y'all hear that, teenagers, little ones? Obey your parents in the Lord. Communication with creativities. Proverbs 22:6, in the way he should go. Children are very unique in the way. That means the way that child is bent. I got 3 boys. All of them are very different. Train up a child in the way that he is naturally bent is what it says. Every one of your children is different. I don't care how many that you have. God never makes carbon copies. He always makes originals. They're always different for us to understand this. It says train, to dedicate, and to discipline. Also, that word for train in the Hebrew, in the language for train, it means touch something to the palate. I had to do some studying on that. What was that talking about? Well, as I began to look up the history of that word in the Hebrew language, it says touch something to the palate. Well, the Hebrew mothers did not have baby food, and I imagine some of you understand way back when they didn't have baby food. They didn't have baby food. You guess how they started off a child to eating food? The wean off the milk. They chewed up the food with their mouth. That don't sound too good, does it, mothers? Of course, you know us people this day, we don't know how to raise children. You've got to read a book. Mothers and fathers, they don't know absolutely nothing. You've got to read a book. These mothers, it says in Hebrew language there, they chewed up their food, and then they put it to the baby's palate to the mouth, and it caused what happens when you put your finger to the palate of the baby's mouth? It caused that baby to swallow. That caused that baby to swallow. It impulsed them there to swallow. It triggers that swallowing in the child's mouth. So they would chew this food up and touch the palate of that child, and they begin to swallow. Well, this is the same technique he's talking about here today. It's a picture of making God's word applicable to a child. Because you know what? You can't ram the word of God down a child's throat. Remember this. You can't just ram it down your children's throat. You make it applicable for them to swallow. How do you do that? By creativities. That's what we do on Wednesday night in Sunday school and children's church. As we continue this with confidence in raising our children, Proverbs 22 and 6, to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from this. Now, this old don't mean middle age. This old do not mean whenever they got gray hair. But this old means hair on the chin. Well, that should tell us something now about the age that it's talking about. You teenagers, it's talking about hair on the chin. Whenever they get to be teenagers, a lot of time they have hair on the chin. That means they're young. There have been a many brokenhearted Christian mother and father has clung to this verse of Scriptures, waiting for that wayward child to come back to the fold. I like to tell you what this proverb is not ironclad promise. This is not an ironclad promise. Proverbs is not ironclad promises. They are principles. They are principles. Alongside these principles and proverbs, they are the human will. They are the human will. There comes a time when your training has to give way to prayer for your family. To prayer. Children, we know, are like arrows in the hand of a great warrior. One thing what a warrior does to his arrows is polish those. Not only that, he points that arrow. And he propels that arrow. And when it leaves the hand of that warrior, we're hoping they'll fly straight to the target of Jesus Christ. One other thing those arrows does, they always go to where a warrior cannot go. You propel your children in this world by the words of God, they'll be able to go to places you cannot go. They may be some missionaries that you're raising here in this church right now. It might go to foreign soil. Raising up pastors and preachers, Sunday school teachers, choir members and all type. Places maybe you and I could not go, but they be able to go. At this time, we'll ask the song leader to come. We'll have an invitation at this time. And then we'll go into dedication service for just a moment. Anybody like to come this hour? I won't even ask you to stand. You just keep your seats as they come. There's a song of invitation. If you'd like to slip out of your pews, I'd like for you to slip out. If you want to come and pray for your children at this time, pray for your family, whatever it might be, I'd like for you to do this right now. As we have this word of invitation, the door of the church is open at this time. Anybody needs to come for salvation, rededicate yourself tonight, dedicate your children. I'd like for you to come at this time. Lord. Yeah, it'd be easy for you to stand. Ask you to stand, please, if you will, at this time. You want to pray for your kids? This will be a great time. For this Christmas time, as you pray, if your family might be around, I'll ask for you to come this time and pray. And dedicate yourself and dedicate your children to Jesus Christ. To polish that arrow. To propel that arrow. And pray for the arrow to hit the spot. The target of Jesus Christ. The greatest thing that the arrow might ever hit this day. Won't you come? Do you have any children that you need to pray for this hour? I'd like for you to come.
As I am.
children, you want to pray for your mothers and fathers. You have some mothers and fathers who are not saved. You need to pray for their salvation. I'd like for you to come at this time. Whatever it might be, the Lord is speaking to your heart this hour. Would you come? You have a wayward child that's gone off. You want to pray for that child. I'd like for you to pray this hour for that child. Won't you come, please?
Just as I am, thou wilt receive with welcome pardoned freely, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come.
Thank you. I'd ask you to be seated at this time. You'll have, at this time, did you play that this time? It's Barry and Sarah, Edward, Avis, as they come and sit on this front pew, please.
If I could see what you see when you look at me, I would begin to understand who I really am. I would know how deep your if I could see what you see, if I could see what you see when you look at me, I would begin to realize why you had to die. I would could see what you see. I would see a wonderful and beautiful creation covered by your loving grace.
Every day is a journal page. Every man holds a quill and ink. And there's plenty of room for writing in all we do and believe and think. So will you compose a curse, or will today bring the blessings? Fill the page with a rhyming verse, or some random sketching. Teach us to count the days. Teach us to make the days count. Lead us in better ways. Somehow our souls forgot. Life means so much. Life means so much. Life means so much. Every day is a bank account, and time is our currency. No one's rich, nobody's poor. We get 24 hours each. So how are you gonna spend? Will you invest or squander? Try to get ahead or help someone who's under. Teach us to count the days. Teach us to make the days count. Lead us in better ways.
Service for our dedication of the parents and the child. Every child is from God, and it is most important to recognize the sacredness of the birth. This service is not to be regarded as a sacrament or an ordinance, but rather as a religious ceremony lifted to the highest degree in the life and home of the church. This child is from God and belongs to God. All children do. The purpose of the body dedication is really found in the purpose of the parents. Rightly understand, the ceremony is one of the parents' dedication. The parents are pledging themselves to obey the commandments of the Bible in Ephesians 6 and 4. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This ceremony is meaningless unless the parents dedicate themselves as well as their children to God. Ecclesiastes 5 and 5 says, better it is that shouldest not vow a vow than to vow it, and should not pay or repay that vow. Dearly beloved, the divine human task of developing a personality at the birth of a child is most dedicated and serious work to which mankind is called. All the sights and sound that plays upon the sensitive little body help to determine its future and characteristic of the mother and the father. The love of the home affects the child in hundreds and thousands of different ways. As the child grows, he or she may receive the spiritual life of his or her parents. God will have access to your children if you will keep the doors of your own life open to him or to her. Deuteronomy 6 and 7 says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and they shall teach them diligently unto the children, and shall take talk of them when they're setteth in thy house, and when they walketh by the way, and when thou liest down, and when they risest up. It is the duty, therefore, to receive this child from God's hand and to teach her to know and to love God. Work in obedience to God will help in the unfolding of this child's spiritual life. From example, this child must learn to play from your parents. From the parents' example, to learn to love and to read the Bible. From your example, learn the ways of fellowship with Jesus Christ and His church and Sunday school. Above all, you are to make in your constant prayer and effect to lead this child to know and to love Jesus Christ, so that when she comes to the age of proper understanding, she will choose of her own will to confess Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Obey Him and guide herself in loyalty and service and loving as a member of the church, which is the body of Christ. Barry and Sarah, we'd ask for you to come and stand right here before the church at this time. As you stand, this ceremony, this body dedication, is founded in the scriptures that we're doing here this night. 1 Samuel 1:28 says, presenting Samuel by his mother Hannah, as you know that story. In Luke 2:22, Joseph and Mary bringing Jesus Christ to the temple after 8 days to be dedicated. In 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul reminded Timothy, from a child he had known the Holy Scriptures. In Mark 10:14, Jesus Christ says, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Barry, Sarah, love God with all the ounce of the fiber of your energy, and to teach Ava Bell to do the same. As you love God and one another, you will model before Ava Bell the wonderful love for God, and she will want for herself. Sarah and Barry, by coming forward, y'all here this day to dedicate this child and before God and these people, do you hereby declare in this hour desire to dedicate yourself and your daughter Ava Bell to the Lord? And by answering, we do. Having come freely then, I ask now that you enter into this fellowship commitment in the presence of God and His people this hour. At this time, the wife hands the baby to the father. This is a sign of His spiritual headship and leadership of the family. This is God's word. So that Ava may walk in the abundance of life in Christ, offered to her to do for Barry and Sarah the vow before God, here this hour, help in this child providing the spiritual need she has, the Christian home and the love and the peace to raise her in the truth of the Lord Jesus, instruct and discipline her, and to encourage her this hour of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to instruct and to discipline her to where she might know Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior. Now this covenant y'all have entered into here this hour and this dedication, it will be your intent, Barry and Sarah, to present this child, Ava Bell, to the Lord, to pledge yourself to bring Ava Bell up in a nurture and admonition of the Lord. And these things I will ask you, and the answer you may say we do in the following promise that you promised before these people this night. Do you this day recognize this child as a gift of God and give thanks for God blessings? You do. Amen. Do you here this day dedicate this child to the Lord who gave her to you? Do you promise to pray for this child and with her for her growth in the knowledge of God and the spiritual life? Do you promise to train this child in body, mind, and soul for service and to fellowship with God for Sunday school and the church? Good. Do you promise to do all you can to lead her at the proper age to confess her faith in Jesus Christ? Do you promise to give this child every possible benefit of home and church? Do you ask this day God's blessing upon her life to guide, to guard, and to direct her through all her years? Thank you. We have now someone else that needs to come this time. Ava and Edward, that you come. The godfather and the godmother. Molding this kind of love cannot be done alone. It requires the help of others. For this reason, Barry and Sarah, I call upon also Edward and Avis. I now direct my question to you at this time. By coming forward before God and the people, do you hereby declare your desire to help Barry and Sarah fulfill the vows they have just made by becoming Ava Bell's godparents? Having come freely, I ask now that you enter into this fellowship commitment so that Abel may walk in the abundance of life with Christ, offering to do help the vows. God helped to encourage through praise and help her also through prayer, Mary and Sarah, in their effort to raise this child in the fear of the Lord and to uphold them in the prayer. And if anything should happen to Mary and Sarah, to assume the responsibility for Abel and the guidance and instruction of the Lord. At this time, we're going to present the little Abel the certificate of this dedication and also the Bible. She's cooperating real good at this time, isn't she? All right, sir. Bless you. God bless you. God bless y'all. We'd like to ask y'all to stand, please. We'd like for those to go to the foyer. We'd like to shake their hands as they go out the door. If you could just get for just a moment. If y'all going to, y'all can go on and be good in that way. I also would like to ask a blessing upon our food this night as we enter into that great fellowship at the Soldier Hall this hour. So we thank you for your attendance this hour. Don't forget to be praying for the sick we have on our prayer list. Thank you for a great day in the Lord. We'll ask Brother Vernon, would you mind give us a benediction at this time, and also ask a blessing upon the food at the Soldier Hall when we get there.